Go on, Stephen.
Okay. In fiscal year 10-11, the council allocated a little over $200 million for various projects and programs that support the trial courts. There was $45 million unused, and a share of that is being requested to roll over for expenditure in this fiscal year. We would have included it if we could have in our July meeting when we considered special fund allocations, but we did not know at that time what funds were being rolled over because we didn't have final expenditure reports. That's why it's coming to you now. Staff have requested a little over almost $7.9 million in rollovers. We had initially brought this forward in our what was the prior process, just would have come straight to the Judicial Council through EMP committee, but the EMP asked us to go back to the Trial Court Budget Working Group to consider these requests, similar that had been done with all the other special fund requests this fiscal year. Since that time, one request has been withdrawn, and so now we have before you recommendations regarding nine particular projects and programs totaling $7.6 million. We split it into two, what was recommended for approval by the Budget Working Group, and they relate to three items, domestic violence funding, workers' compensation tail claims, and some expenditures related to the Phoenix financial system. The rationale for the recommendation was that they would be used to directly benefit the public, prior liabilities and contractual obligations, and they would assist in saving the trial courts some much-needed resources. The items that were not recommended, they're listed there. The descriptions are included in the materials. I think that was important during the discussion of the issues was there was a focus on preserving as much funds as possible for addressing future fiscal shortfalls. And so there was quite a bit of discussion about, well, can these be used for addressing, if they're not spent, would they be available to use against cuts to the courts in the future? And so there's a number of issues related to CCMS, other IT, some important projects, but in the eyes of the Budget Working Group, they were not as critical as preserving those dollars for court operations. Now, many of these projects, they do benefit courts, and those were discussed, and the rationale is identified on the next slide. The dollars are available to help courts in the future fiscal years.
Kim, I know you're going to turn off my mic soon if I don't shut up today, but I thought I would just take a moment to talk about the recommendations that are the – am I on my button? No, okay.
Turn it off already.
It's already been turned off. Okay. I wanted to just talk for a moment about the recommendations that were not for projects that would be defunded, which are now in the CCMS area. Because at the time the Trial Court Budget Working Group looked at these projects, it was before the announcement about this potential opportunity that may, I think, you know, give more opportunity for the CCMS project to move forward, the one that we heard about today. And I know that there are a couple of projects, if you look at your handouts, unfortunately this thing is not numbered. It's like five or six pages in. It would be the item number 8, which is CCMS development. There's a request for funds for Ventura and Fresno counties to provide CCMS testing. And I would just urge us to take maybe another look at that one and also at number 9, which is related to CCMS as well. It's related to a contract. And in talking with the CCMS staff, I'm aware that these are already, as we say, sunk costs. In other words, Fresno and Ventura have already gotten the money. So what it's done is it's just shorted that very minimal amount of money that's left in the CCMS budget this year. And so these funds have already been expended in, for instance, Ventura and Fresno. And so this is an opportunity for us to perhaps backfill them, given the you know, the change in circumstances that CCMS is facing.
Judge Wesley.
Well, I was on that call, and I want to tell you that there was a lengthy discussion about those issues. I don't think anything that has happened since would change the minds of the presiding judges that voted. The vote was not even close. They wanted this money preserved, and they did not want to spend it on CCMS, and they made that clear. There was a long presentation, and Zlatko, you were on that call, I believe. There was a long presentation by staff to the presiding judges and the members of the trial court budget working group, and they were very strong that this money not be spent. And I think the council should be aware that this was not a close vote.
Thank you. Any other comments? Zlatko, I wasn't sure if you were finished with your presentation.
I think we needed to get to the I think you got to the rationale, right, on the denied. And that was the recommendation consistent with the trial court budget working group.
Okay. Chief, I would move to accept the recommendations.
I'll second it.
Judge Pines and Judge So second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Matter passes.
I just have one other question.
And I wanted to bring to your attention something that Justice Miller wanted me to briefly discuss.
Yeah.
This, understand the state controller has sent out a letter to the judges regarding their pay process, and I just wanted to provide a little bit of clarification. I think there was being handed out the copy of the letter that was sent by the controller. And they're implementing a new human resource management system. They're trying to reduce the number of pay plans that currently exist, and apparently there are 27 different methods in which the controller pays paychecks. So they're trying to streamline that before they automate into five. And so one of the first groups to be consolidated include legislators, constitutional officers, state agency secretaries, various department directors, members of boards and commissions, and judges. And so we wanted to let you know what was going on. It won't affect your pay. It's just a matter of timing. And I think one of the more significant issues that we wanted to let you know about is that because of the timing of the pay, that the 2012 calendar year will only include 11 paychecks, because the paycheck that would have come at the end of December will now roll into the beginning of January. And I think that the letter, I'm no HR expert, I just wanted to sort of bring the information to you. But many groups are being impacted by this, and they think that it's just a necessary part of the automation. They don't anticipate any problems for you, but they do put some caveats for you to be aware of.
One of the concerns that was raised was whether or not the language in here indicates that we're being shifted from a constitutionally elected officer into an employee position.
As I understand it, this is, and I think the beginning of the letter, the second paragraph, that this particular one includes judges, legislators, constitutional officers. You're all being treated the same. You're not being moved into being treated like somebody. It's just the timing of the payments so that their system can accommodate a fewer number of pay periods.
Can my suggestion be that you confirm that in some way and then provide that information to Ron so that he could distribute it to David,
sure.
Judge Rosenberg, and then he could get it out to the PJs?
Absolutely.
Judge Rosenberg?
I'm sure Judge Rubin's going to say a very similar thing here, but there's been some concerns expressed by judges as a result of this letter because we are, in fact, constitutional officers, and we don't have a five-day work week. Mm-hmm. I mean, judges, in theory, are on duty 24/7. And so it would be useful to have some sort of legal look at this and make sure that doesn't in any way diminish our capacity.
Ruben?
Right. On behalf of the CJA membership, I'm getting feedback of tremendous concern about this. This comes at a particularly inappropriate time, and the timing for us, and the timing the day after yesterday's announcements. they refer to us as state employees. So the second sentence clarifies what state employees mean. Obviously, that is of significant concern to CJA and its membership, and what clarification you can get would be appreciated.
Yeah, I think it's a – I don't want to speak without knowledge. Just they talk about it in terms of the pay plan, the timing of the payments. And it doesn't – as I understand, it doesn't impact. But I'll get clarification to so I can be more informed on the issue.
They may talk about it in terms of a pay plan, but obviously when we're up there talking to them about issues of – that concern the branch, and they see us – there's sometimes lack of understanding about whether we're a branch or a department. When I see a letter like this, it makes me feel like I'm not being particularly clear.
Okay.
We'll get clarification for you on it. I mean, this is a letter from the controller who may not have the same sensitivities that we would inside the branch in terms of status of individuals, judges, other constitutional officers, and that kind of thing. But we'll get full clarification on it and send it out. This is just a new computer system is essentially what it is, and all state employees, constitutional officers, legislators, judges are going to be paid in that way instead of the current way. And that's the only – a technical change.
So you'll look into it, though, and send it out when you do
judicial
– when you do your web – when you do your email addresses?
Sure.
Thank you for that.
Justice Hull?
And just a comment on that. When you look into that, will that include whether or not there are any, at least for this year, tax ramifications to that change? Could there be?
Yeah, there could be.
For calendar year 12, when you file for 13, there'll be and the letter does mention that, I think, the bold, the 12 annual taxing.
Right. Thank you. I haven't had a chance. I just got the letter.
Medical, if you deduct, it'll be 12 months into 11 months, so your payment will be a little higher.
Okay.
We'll get you clarification. Okay. I know the person who signed this letter. We work together at DOF, so
that's always good.
Call Jim up and make sure we get the right kind of information for you.
Thank you, Zlatko. Thank you, Stephen. Any other new business or matters that we were going to discuss before we close? Judge Rubin.
I just had one comment I wanted to make in reference to something that Justice Miller said this morning with respect to the issue of pensions and what was happening. I just want to say that he mentioned CJA, and we are looking forward to working on the issue of pensions closely with and coordinating with all the branch actors in trying to figure out what's happening. Obviously, it's sensitive. The initiatives that are out there, we obviously want to see what we can do with and work with those folks. So I want to thank Justice Miller for that. And you'll have a robust and vigorous partner. We're particularly concerned about all of our members, but obviously, as we saw from that handout we got this morning from Mr. Child, the issue with JRS-1 members is particularly vexing. And so even more so than all the others. All the others are very serious as well. So anyway, I want to thank Justice Miller for that, and we're ready to go.
Thank you. And then in closing, as we all often do, sadly, is we close with a brief remembrance of judicial colleagues who have recently deceased. They are Judge Frank Domenicini, Superior Court of California, County of Orange, Judge Joseph Farina, Municipal Court of California, Los Cerritos, Judge Howard Swart, Municipal Court of California, Antelope, Judge Arthur Wallace, Superior Court of California, County of Kern. All were retired from the bench, and we honor them for their service to the courts and the administration of justice in California. We close our business meeting. I thank you for the 2 days of intense discussion and give and take and great suggestions and comments, and I'll see you soon and safe trip.
Thank you. Thank you.